I was asking him about why is New Jersey such an opportunity for winemaking and grape growing, like you were talking about with the Mount Salem. And he said he talked exactly about what you did, about the slope and the fertile soil and
soil
the like.
Soil types, yeah.
But what was the most interesting part of it to me was, I said, so how does this compare to California? And he said, it's completely the opposite in the way that you have to grow the grapes. He said, in California, it's dry, the climate's dry, and we have to constantly provide water to the grapes. In New Jersey, we have to do the opposite. We actually have to take water away.
Yeah, yeah.
To make
too
them...
much, they're too wet.
Right, right.
The conditions are too wet for the growing.
Right. So, yeah. Technologically, it was an interesting challenge to do that, to get them on the right part of the... They have to be in a certain slope facing the sun, and
right,
they have to have this ability to extract water so that the soil is not as damp as you expect it to be.
Yeah, you get dampness, you get all kinds of problems.
Right. So, very interesting stuff. And then I saw that, like you just mentioned, all the different places throughout New Jersey that Unionville Vineyards has vineyards. They just don't have them right at their winery. They have them throughout.
All over the place. Yeah. And then each vineyard is divided into different areas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, really.
It's an interesting way to farm.
Yep.
They're quite different from the farm I grew up on.
yeah, definitely. All right.
Anyway, I also talked to Old York Cellars. They're holding their wine and music under the stars this weekend, starting Friday, July 6th. And then it continues on Saturday and Sunday, July 7th and 8th. Music in the afternoon and on Saturday night, starting at 7:30, they have their comedy night.
Mm-hmm.
The headliner is Dan Wilson. No walk-ins. You must reserve ahead of time.
Okay.
Anyway, then each Saturday following July 14th, for example, the J.J. Lynch Band will be there at 5 o'clock. And at 9 p.m., they're partnering with the Garden State Film Festival and presenting award-winning short films from around the world, not just here.
Neat. Very neat.
Yeah, it's an...
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today's weather, we are expected to have a high of 98, a low of 73. Our precipitation is at 0% right now, so we shouldn't expect any rain. It's going to be a very steamy night. So look forward to that. 94 tomorrow, low of 73. We do have a 54% chance of rain, and it's just going to stay very hot and sticky. Wednesday, 4th of July, we get a break. And there's going to be possible thunder showers later in the afternoon. But it should be a great afternoon. A little lower, a high of 89 and a low of 73. So have a great 4th of July, everybody.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Girl Boss with Devin LeCompte and Deb Hill filling in for Brooke Sellis for the summer. Two women on a mission to support ladies in the workplace, climbing the corporate ladder, or looking to be the girl boss of their own company. With a combined 10 years of being girl bosses, they'll lend insight to what it's like to be a woman leading the way at work today and answer your burning questions about being a girl boss.
Hey, Deb.
Hey, Devin. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. It's good to see you, too.
Okay. Are we done with
it's been a
swill in?
Yeah. It's been a hot week.
It has. Ooh. I am thoroughly enjoying it, though.
I know.
Florida and Oklahoma. I'm very glad that winter's over. It's been a long one.
And coming from Buffalo myself, I do enjoy a warm day. I really can appreciate it.
What are you doing to stay cool right now? You have any tips or tricks?
I've been in the office, so I don't have to deal with it.
I've been out on the road all day today, so I had a lot of water. My water bottle got hot in the car. Really sad. Had to get rid of it. Do not drink that stuff. It's dangerous.
In the plastic.
Yeah, the plastic. Yeah, I had to get a plastic one because I ran out of water of my own.
Oh, no.
You know, everybody should have a stainless steel water bottle, please. Enough with the plastic. You know me. Mother Nature. But, you know, I forgot to put my accordion thing in the window.
Your sun shield.
Yeah, I stepped in to try and find a dress for this wedding I got to go to in August. And to no avail. Oh, my God. Everything's out there, but nothing looks good on me.
Oh, no.
I'm just the opposite shape of the world.
You're going to have to go over to Sage, and I'm sure Karen can find you something.
She probably will. She probably has something awesome for me to wear. So I'll have to do that. But, yeah, the accordion thing, super critical today. Stay cool, but definitely inside.
I have metal on my keys, and I always leave my keys in the car. So if you see it, it's generally my keys are probably sitting on my seat. And then I always go and I pick them up, and I basically burn my hands because the metal gets so hot when I grab them. I really have to break myself if that happens.
Ouch.
The beauty of living in rural New Jersey, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I have, I guess, leather seats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing my husband bought the car. Sorry, guys. But these seats, they were burning hot. They were so hot when I got in there. So I had to actually get back out of the car and stand out while it's cool. I open all the windows. Yeah. Not a good day to be outside.
Moral of the story, use your sunshade in your car.
Oh, thank you. That's what it's called. Sunshade.
So we have a guest with us today. Do you want to introduce her, Deb? I think you've known her for quite some time now, right?
Yes. One of my favorite people in the world. I've known you for way too long to discuss how many years it's been, but our children were very little, and now they're in their 20s, so okay, whatever. Rachel Errico.
Hello.
Say hi
to
the world.
Nice to be here.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you, Rachel.
Yep, and it definitely was a hot day.
It was. Yes. Yeah. Rachel's one of my good friends, and she was one of the people who was a business owner back when I was a new business owner. And she and I dealt with some things while nobody else in our circles really had to deal with these things. Some of the challenges that were rather unique to our lifestyle choices of being business owners, all of our friends with their kids would be doing their thing, you know, with business, having jobs and stuff being pulled away, or they just had a different life. And so Rachel and I did a lot of things together. Our boys are great friends.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, her older boy and my younger boy. We both have two boys. So raising boys together was an adventure in its own. It's very different than having a girl in the mix somewhere there, I guess. So anyway. Yes. So I was rather a newbie at being a business owner. As you know, I own 5 businesses, and they came in at different times in my life. I didn't just, like, have them all at once. And my husband was really the business owner of the first business that we had together. And so I ended up with doing the financing. Well, what I call finances, not financing. I didn't give the money out. But I did invoicing and bill paying.
She was the back office.
Yeah. Answering the phone,
taking care.
Sound like the secretary on the phone so you don't sound like the wife. What do you want?
So Rachel was great with that because she helped me with a lot of things. So as a mentor, she kept me accountable. Devin, do you have, you said you have mentors that keep you, that hold you to your best self, right?
Absolutely, yes. I think that's a very important aspect to your business is, you know, having somebody keep you accountable and to having somebody there to guide you, mm-hmm. you know, and help you in the difficult decisions.
Yeah, it's really important to do that. So Rachel's great. She's owned two businesses, two restaurants.
Yep, two restaurants.
And now, what do you do now? I'm not going to answer it for you. I don't know what to call what you do now.
We take homes and we improve them, make them better.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So people can be happy and live in them.
Yeah. So we fix houses up.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
So,
originally you started, you were telling me before we got on the show today that you went to college for your accounting degree, right?
Right. I have a bachelor's of science in accounting, and I worked as an auditor for 6 years.
How did you get involved with that? What made you...
Why be an auditor?
Yeah. Why go to college for accounting? That's definitely not something that is female-dominated.
Especially with your art, like, passion for art that you have.
I guess as a child, I always thought of finances and being independent and having that ability to be independent. And I knew that if you could be an accountant, you would always need a bookkeeper in the simplest terms, not necessarily an accountant. So I first thought as a young person, 15, 16, that I could be a bookkeeper.
Wow, that's early to start thinking about that.
Yeah, and then I came from parents that were immigrants, and I watched them struggle. And so as a woman, you want to kind of stand up on your own.
Now, where were your parents from? Why don't you tell the listeners?
My father was from Austria, and my mother was from Belgium.
We have some great wines over there.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
So you're first-generation American.
I'm first-generation, yeah.
Wow. That has its challenges in itself, I'm sure.
Yeah. So in that regard, that's, I thought, you know, if you're here, you got to be able to support yourself and stuff. So that's how I kind of started. So I got out of high school, and I went to community college, and then I went on to Westchester University and graduated from there and got my accounting degree. And then I went to private work. And then I went into public accounting, and that's how I started auditing.
So with your accountant background, I always have a ton of questions for accountants because I'm not bad at managing my money, but I'm bad at managing my books, I guess.
Oh.
So, like, do I have to keep my receipts? I'm supposed to always keep my receipts,
You should keep
right?
all your receipts.
Now, my accountant told me I can just put them in a shoebox.
Look, if they're in a shoebox, at least you know where you can go get them. But today's software is pretty nice. You can kind of click up and
I really
load.
Should be scanning all of my receipts. That's like, that's a lot.
That's what I was wondering. There's probably an in-between between the shoebox and the scanner.
So when
it's getting easier.
When I ran my trucking company, we photocopied all of our receipts and then put them in the file that they were from.
That works. At least you know where to get them. Like go to if you should need them.
Yeah. So now why would I need my receipts?
Bless you. For the other part of her job. She was,
why do you need your receipts? To prove your expenses in the future, yeah.
So when an IRS audit comes out.
Yes, but let's hope he doesn't come out or she.
If you do get flagged and there is an IRS audit, the ability to prove your expenses, that they were actually business expenses, is very important when you're running your own business or if you're an independent contractor.
It's very important, because you have to prove that expense actually existed. Otherwise, you could
make
believe. It's not, you could just make it up, right? So you don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
So that's why you need your receipts. So
I've been through that. I've been through an audit.
You've been audited. Oh, no.
3 years in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
They caught them. They did it all at once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Do you guys have any tips then for the other women that aren't as good at managing their books as y'all are?
You have to be a little disciplined in that area. You really do, because it's to your benefit in the long run. If you do it weekly, it's a lot easier than if you just wait for a month and then you get to it. Because let's face it, you just rather go do something else. So you just always want to kind of set your day, a Monday. And every Monday you do it in the evening, and you just follow a certain discipline. And then that way
that's
it's
what I
all,
do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you stay committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's a lot better than laundry because at least it's put away.
For somebody that is an accountant background, is much better than laundry. I think I would rather do laundry than keep track of my receipts.
I have had moments in my life. We have these crazy times, October through Christmas for us. We have insurance audits, a lot of the end of the year stuff, and then the accounting stuff. And my day-to-day receipts from bills that I've paid or going to get gas or any of that, it just piles up, right? And it just looks daunting. I get, like, my stomach hurts looking at it. And then I say, all right, I'm going to take one thing, just one, and I'm going to file one thing. And I stick to it. I try to stick to one thing, and I feel so much better when I've done the one thing.
That's a great tip.
And then, you know, I will go back to it, and I'm going to do two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, a lot of times, I'll do the one thing, and you know what happens when you get started on it. You're like, it feels so good to get that stuff filed away the right way.
And it's 2 o'clock
like,
in the morning, and you're still sitting there
filing it out the paperwork. Way. Yeah, because your desk is so pretty at the end. You're like, I like that.
So on that final note, we're going to step away to our first commercial break here, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Yeah. Come buy me a drink, I'll make my money. Don't touch my weed, don't call me honey.
Cause I run my shit, baby.
Don't buy me a drink, I'll make my money. Don't touch my weed.
Welcome back to Girl Boss with me, Deb Hill, and my co-host, Devin LeCompte. Today we're talking all things
entrepreneur
with Rachel Errico.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we left off with a pretty good tip from Deb about managing, tackling a big problem. We were talking about, I hate filing my receipts. And so Deb suggested just moving, taking one section of it and getting that done, and then moving on to another section and getting that done. And I think that's fantastic. And that's only a part of your, was a part of your entire life. And then after you were doing accounting, what did you move into then?
So my husband and I, we turned around and we ended up owning a restaurant sports bar, and that's a what.
And that's a local Hunterdon County local Hunterdon County bar, right?
Yeah, it was past tense. We had sold it, but
congratulations.
Yeah, back 2006, a little while ago, but it was a lot of learning curves there. You know, you have to adjust your business to the environment that it's in, and there were some learning curves that my husband and I had learned through that. But once you kind of find your niche, you can expand on it, and you start pulling in more and more people, and You have to listen to your customers and build off of all that. And you have to have a goal. Like, you have to have a vision of what you want it to be eventually. But you have to keep your eyes open to what's going on around you, because if you force it, it won't happen. You know, you have to really see what the people want and then modify it.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, how did you go about finding your niche? And do you want to discuss what the bar was, or are we going to keep that?
Well, yeah, we'll just leave it. We'll just leave it out there. The bar was originally owned by older people, and we had purchased it.
Okay.
And it was known as a roller skating rink back in the day.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It became a really run-down dive. Mm-hmm. So we took it over. Yeah. My husband was in charge. He was always there, and I was the back office person. But we originally tried to do the restaurant end of it, and it just didn't hold. It just wasn't holding. So then we went more into the entertainment, and we found our niche there. So we did that for 8 years.
So the entertainment sector more so.
Yeah, the entertainment.
And I'm guessing from what you were saying before is that was from following your customers, figuring out what they wanted,
right?
That's great advice.
And then and you do have to follow your customers, and then giving them what they want. Like, so we ended up going into the bigger bands, the Nerds, Big Orange Cone.
Oh, wow.
This is like dated, right? Because they're not that popular. They're known, but they're older. But you just build off of all that. And it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of learning, and we were young, you know, in our late 20s, early 30s, so you had to figure a way out. But
really, was that?
Yeah.
It was that era? It was that era,
yeah.
Wow.
So, yep. So, yeah, we sold that I was 35. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, you're younger than me.
Yes, a few years.
I always forget you're younger than me.
Like, that wasn't that long ago, Deb. Oh, my goodness. Both of you.
Yeah, but you count the years once it's past a certain age, and you're not there.
And you start going backwards.
Yeah. So that was great. We'd learned a lot from that, and then we took some time off.
Now, I'm going to interrupt there real quick, because I'm not done with this segment of your life yet. Would you recommend people getting involved in that? I mean, the restaurant industry is a tough industry. Would you tell me more about your thoughts on women that are considering maybe starting their own restaurant or considering getting involved in the industry?
The restaurant industry, you have to love it, and you have to breathe it, eat it. It just is a part, it's your first child. It's constant. I'm serious. Like, it's everything. It's 7 days a week, you know, 10, 12-hour days, and you're constantly, you might not physically always be there, but it's always...
Your phone is always on.
And it's always in your head, and you deal with a lot of staff, and... everybody has a life, and everybody wants their life recognized. So if you're just thinking you're going to get in the restaurant and serve people food because you love to do so, you're going to get surprised, because there's more to it than just that.
Absolutely. So what was your favorite part and your least favorite part about owning your restaurant?
That's a good question.
Favorite part was watching people really enjoy themselves when it was a really great night. Least favorite part, the amount of hours,
mm-hmm.
the constant commitment.
How many hours do you think you were putting in?
My husband, it was 7 days a week. It was always, it was a part of our life.
70, 80 hours, I bet, right?
When you own something like that, it's part of your life. You don't really put it in hours.
Yeah.
It's always there.
It is your life.
The video cameras are always on when it's open.
Yeah, it's
there.
Always. And so the second place we owned was truly a restaurant, lots of food, 70% food. So, that was different. The other one was more liquor, entertainment, mm-hmm. and so forth.
And I'm sure they presented their own challenges.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you have to respect the laws, and you have drinking and driving. You have to be aware of that, hostilities, and so forth. So, yeah.
What was your favorite memory from your restaurateur days?
From the original place, I think it was probably a Big Orange Cone night when everybody was there, and I was behind the DJ booth, and you could see all the people.
That's awesome.
Having fun.
Yeah, that's great.
It was probably one of a really, like, you know, you accomplished something.
I finally
something.
Did it.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah, that was nice.
And that's why you do this. You know, that's why you work towards that goal that you were talking about, is so you could have those type of memories and those
right.
type of nights.
You do. You work to the goals. And you're young. You don't always know what you're going for wanting. And then when you finally get there, you sometimes go, okay, we need to change the way we're going. And that's why my husband and I, and we ended up selling the place, because it was just a time for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made that change happen, and then we went on to our next venture,
which was should we go to a commercial break now, and we can come back and
sure.
we can talk about that then.
Okay, all right,
keep the suspense, we'll be right back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
President Trump said 1 week from today he will announce his nominee for the Supreme Court. The White House, meanwhile, is said to be enhancing its communications team. White House counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says what the president will be looking for in a nominee.
This president wants somebody who has a great experience, deep intellect, wonderful judicial credentials.
The heat is going to continue for much of the East Coast, with temperatures being in the 90s and humidity levels making it feel like over 100 degrees. Rudy Hostetler is with an urgent care in Pennsylvania. He shares some symptoms of a heat stroke.
It'll start off, or can start off, with a mild headache, some weakness, sometimes nauseousness, sometimes muscle cramps.
And what should you do if you are feeling like you're having a heat stroke?
Spray some cool water on yourself. If you're very hot, if someone's feeling lightheaded, to lay down, prop your feet up.
Hostetler also said to make sure you drink plenty of water when it's super hot. This is USA Radio News.
Ryan, I don't know how else to say this, so I'll just say it.
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people.
Are you breaking up with me on a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun. Maybe we should stay together.
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. Hey! So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Hey! Because Hotels.com lets me do me. Hey! And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
An elite school in New York City's secret segregation policies no longer a secret. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The school that has a lot of celebrity kids attending is ending a segregation policy after a lot of outraged parents discovered it. For the past year, the Little Red Schoolhouse in the West Village has been assigning 7th and 8th graders homerooms based on race. The New York Post breaking the story, saying minority kids were being grouped together based on a theory it would foster improved academic and social benefits. Parents who pay $45,000 a year in tuition revolted at news of it, and the school's now ending that policy. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A Manhattan grand jury has returned a superseding indictment that charges disgraced film mogul Harvey Weinstein with additional sex crimes, including one that could land him in prison for life. It is alleged that Weinstein assaulted a third victim in 2006. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Over the weekend, many people took to the streets to protest President Trump's policies, mainly his immigration policies, but others as well. Well, Johnny Joey Jones is a former U.S. Marine Corps bomb technician. He says, isn't it about time we get back to treating each other civil?
This country is great, not just because of the size of our wealth or the strength of our military or even our free system of government. Those are just effects of what makes us such a great place. The reason why we're the greatest country in the world is because we don't care where you pray or what you look like or who you vote for. We're in this country together and we inherently have a love for one another. We're the only place in the world that has this many reasons to divide ourselves, to go hide in our corner and be with those like us, yet we don't. Yet in this country, even beyond that reason, we're Americans first. We fight wars to protect one another. And even more importantly, in small town America, not out on the streets with protests or up in D.C., but in every little town in this country. If your neighbor's house burns down, you're the first one there to help. If someone falls down on the sidewalk, you're the first one to pick them back up and dust them off. I know that because that's how America treated me when I lost my legs in 2010. And that's how I see every single day. I work at Camp Southern Ground. We have kids with different challenges, autism spectrum disorder. And we bring in 8-year-olds. Of all abilities and put them together and put them through a week at camp. And the most amazing thing is that at the end of that week, they're seeing the gifts and talents in one another and nothing else. No challenges. They're checking up for each other and helping each other through it. And that's how we all need to be as Americans.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Okay, today's weather again. It's 97 of high today, a 73 for a low tonight. It's going to be extremely sunny all day and super hot. Tomorrow is going to be a high of 95. I see that we have a chance of a thunderstorm, and it's also going to be very hot with a 72 of low. Wednesday, it's going to be only 88. Yay. Not so hot, hot, hot. And 71 of low. Evening thunderstorm in spots, but it won't be, you know, thunderstorms. They won't last forever. So we'll have a great night.
So I still can't get over the technical difficulties that we've been experiencing almost every week since we started the show. I was just going to put on some music and ended up turning the phone off instead of playing the music. So I'm sorry about that, guys. It's always something here.
Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana.
Oh,
it's always
goodness.
Something.
Oh, my goodness. So we left off. We were going to go into her new venture. And I think it might be bad juju to talk about where you're going when it's a brand new, I mean, because you were just getting in. You said like some type of like property investments, right?
Yes, property investments. And we're just getting into it. And I think we should maybe
sequel that one
to the next one. Yep. So we'll see how it goes.
She'll be back next year and we'll be able to catch up and see how that this year went for
absolutely.
For
it's like naming the baby before the baby's born. We don't do that.
We pick out 5 names and then we wait.
Yeah, right. So we'll just wait and see when that happens.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about your second venture that you did. The restaurant that was more, what you said, 70%
food-based meal or foods.
I remember you having to do an awful lot of thinking about that area and the people in that area and how to attract them. What kinds of foods? I mean, what did you think about? What were your parameters to create an attractiveness to the area people?
Right. So that was really interesting because we owned that business for 6 years, and the menu was slowly built. It came out all at once, and we tried to attract the people, like burgers, hot dogs, and simple foods, but a little higher end, you know, broche rolls. And the amazing part was is technology has really helped in that department. When you use a point of sale system, it can track which food you are selling. And you'd be amazed at the end of the day how many burgers you can sell in a week versus how many tenders, chicken tenders, to entrees. And the amazing part is, as you can see this happening, because you take the time to look at it, you can delete what doesn't work and you can add what works. So as your menu grows and you age with your business, you can actually keep what's working really well and add new things, and you can actually find out what the customer is really going after. Mm-hmm. And then you can also look at what's trending currently in the market, and then you can add that to it. So it's great when you go to cafes and you know it's your local cafe and they have the same menu for years. Because a lot of people are habitual. They'll constantly come back to the same meal for whatever reason. I think we're all guilty of it. You go to this one place and you, for whatever reason, always have to order the same food. So that's kind of cool because, you end up building clientele, because that's once they find what they love, they end up always ordering. And I really think technology has helped in that regard as far as building customers. And then the other part is the environment that you give them, what you give them as a scenery to look at, and then your staff. You know, you want always a cordial staff, nobody frustrated, angry. Like, you know, we know some you have bad days, but you can't bring it to the table.
So your concept of branding went all the way through to the staff and to every single item that people ate.
Absolutely.
And
every point of contact,
every point of contact. You always have to be having good contact, good service. But, you know, you're as a waitress, when you're out there waitressing, you really want to sell what's on the menu. You really want to talk to the people. And then you have to also read people, because sometimes people don't want to be talked to, and that's better too. But it's good to be a chipper person and always try and get them to try new things or try the new appetizer, because it builds your tips. And waitresses work a lot off of tips, so you have to respect that too.
And it's almost, I think, in the serving industry, it's knowing what your customer wants before they want it.
You know, true.
I think that's a very important aspect to a good server and to a good business owner.
Right.
You know, as for me in real estate, I need to anticipate the questions that my clients are going to have so I can answer them succinctly and accurately. So I think, you know, a lot of this transcends through all facets of employment and occupational work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of go into the mind of whoever you're confronting and see if you can figure out what they want to.
Be a psychologist.
Yeah, be a psychologist. It's so true. But, yeah, so it's great. So when you say, like, branding and stuff, we constantly always just modified and adjusted as we needed to.
That's so important. Cool. I see so many, especially restaurants around here, getting stuck in the same way for 10 or 15 years, and that's great. But being able to make the adaptations that you need, I mean, change is good, right?
Change is good. Like, consistency and then change to give something new. But like I said, when it becomes 7 days a week, every day, you kind of get in a rut, and you kind of, you know.
You need to keep that growth mentality. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so to grow, one of the things that I think we, well, it's just delegation. I'm just going to put it out that way. To delegate is a big risk for a lot of people new at business, because we have that all by myself attitude. You know, I can do this. And also,
if you want it done right, do it yourself.
Yeah, right? Also, it's
that does
like,
not always work.
You think it's less expensive. If you haven't figured out how much you're worth, you think it's less expensive. Mm-hmm. But if you understand your value, your dollar per hour value, it's so much better to delegate some things. And that helps you grow, you know,
true.
What you're not best at. So on that light, what did you find that you liked to delegate?
What did I like to delegate?
Oh, and did you delegate?
Like front of house in the restaurant.
Yeah, I like to delegate. I like to kind of tell everybody what I expect and how it happens, should happen. And then I always like to step back and see if it happens. And then focus on why it's not happening, and then redelegate it and figure out why it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And then usually everybody picks up on why it's not working, or they'll change the way they're going, or it just doesn't work out, and then you have to move on to some other. But when I delegate, I kind of step back, and I first want to see what it is I'm trying to delegate. It's, you just can't throw it out there. Because I'm kind of a do-it-yourself person.
I do know that you delegated. I mean, your chef was amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, he would create the menu, and then you would oversee and okay that. You didn't have to be in micromanaging.
No, absolutely.
That, because you had very capable people.
Yes, yes.
So,
but we also, with the chef, he was very talented. He was very good, and but we let him have his own way. We didn't delegate over top of him, but we, I guess, final approved it.
Told him what to do, not how to do it, it sounds like.
Kind of.
Come up with a good menu. And then
come up with a good menu.
How you come up with the menu is his...
Well, a good chef is like an artist, and you kind of have to respect that, and you kind of have to have that, let them have their own way. And then if it's not going quite the way you like, then you get involved. But when you hire a chef, you definitely want to make sure they know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you have to get in there involved with them, then they're not really the artist or the chef that you really want, because you don't want to be behind the kitchen all the time as an owner. And my husband will vouch for that. He just it gets hot back there, and chefs are truly passionate people about
their
food.
And more than one sense of the...
Yes.
More than one way
and
of saying
definitely that. Hotter than today. Those kitchens can get hot.
Personality-wise and temperature-wise,
yes,
I'm sure.
I'm sure, yep. Yep, absolutely. So true.
Now, Deb, at the beginning of the show, we talked about Rachel being your mentor.
Yes.
What are some of the key things that you've learned over the years? I'm putting you on the spot with this one. I haven't prepped you at all.
Yeah. That's okay, because it's there. One of the things that I think I tend to be more of a worrywart than she is, and she helps me center and calm down, and it's not the end of the world, and you got this. You know, you can do this. So
how so?
She helps me be braver, or actually more courageous is the proper word. How so? I don't know. I call up Rachel and
she usually lays it out. Like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And
this
then
is the scene. What do I do?
And I'm very systematic. You know, you start with A to B to C, and you see if that works, and not to fret over the things that really aren't going to make a big difference.
As a mentor, she's a good listener. I think, you know, a lot of us think that we can't be good mentors, and I think one of the best ways to be a mentor is to just be quiet and listen. Because a lot of times the answers will come as the person's saying the problem. She'll be like, oh my gosh, that's right, I have this, or I can do that, and I didn't think of it before.
And that's true.
You know, and she'll remind me of things like that. You know, okay, well, I know you have this over here, and what about this here? So she'll give, because she knows my life, and that's an important fact of being a mentor too, to understand where your mentee is at in their life, and keep that in mind when you're talking with them. That so you can give them the alternatives for the answers. Well, you could go here, but then this is going to happen, you know? You could give up your business and you could work full time for someone else, but then you're going to have to put your kids in daycare and, you know, life is going to change. Is that going to be all right for you? That kind of stuff.
So now, and it might be one and the same, but what do you believe makes Rachel a mentor as opposed to a friend?
Because, well, she is my friend, so that's a good way to start. But specifically, I go to her when I have an issue that it's a business issue that my other friends won't be able to answer for me. And I know she's been there, and because I know that, and I know she holds me accountable
to my best
self. So
she's had those experiences. She's had the entrepreneurial and business experiences that you haven't yet had or experienced necessarily.
Yes, right. That, or she may be able to have a broader perspective than what I have, or a different perspective than what I have. Great to hear somebody else's outside of me. And it's not somebody who's going to just say, oh, it'll be okay.
I get so stuck in my head sometimes that just vocalizing it really, it really helps.
It helps. And to have somebody you trust, I think, is, you know, somebody who's not going to go tell everybody else, oh, Debbie has this problem, you know. It's a big issue. Trust is a big part of it. And I think it goes beyond being a friend. Because a friend will, of course, they'll give you a shoulder. They might give you some alternatives, but they're not going to have been there, and they're not going to understand the gravity of of maybe sharing that with somebody else. That's not a good thing, you know. Like a mentor is a very private discussion.
Yeah, Rachel, what do you think about that?
I think that's true. I think a good mentor is a good listener. And the mentor is usually not necessarily a stronger character, but a different style of character, and that you look up to that kind of character because you yourself want to go there. I know when I was young, I would I was 11, 12, and I would ride horses. And the woman that owned the barn at the time, she was this is back in the early 80s, and she ran her own stable by herself. And back in the early 80s, how many times did you hear about a woman running her own business? And I think that was one of the earliest times that I actually seen a woman standing on her own and just doing her own thing. And I guess it was a good for me, I visually seen it, like, you could do this and you can stand on your own. And I liked it. And I liked that attitude of being very independent. And my family would tell you that I'm always have been like a thinker, like I always know where I want to go. And I think that's why Debbie kind of comes to me, because I do listen. And then I'm pretty much, I strategize my thoughts, I guess.
Yes. There's a perspective. There's an Ayurvedic perspective. There's the things that make you you, okay? Mm-hmm. And there are three. You need a little background of this to understand where I'm coming from. But Rachel is a stronger personality than I am in that way, okay? I'm what's more creative in terms of, well, it's called Vata. I have more Vata, which is the air in your body. It's a dosha. It's a constitution that makes you up. All the air that makes up the space between your knuckles and in your lungs and the pressure in your eyeballs and all sorts of things. It also makes you extremely creative, quick to learn, quick to forget. Okay? Now, Rachel has many of those qualities, but she also has something called Pitta, which is the fire in your body. Everything red in your body and the digestive juices. And John F. Kennedy was a Pitta. He was a very strong personality. Good vision. Pitta people are leaders, and they can they create a vision, and they can take you there. You see the vision with them. You understand what needs to be done, and you can do it. And you're very excited to do it with that particular leader. So, and then there's a third dosha called Kapha, which is wonderful. These are your very loyal best friends, people. They remember your birthday. They're very gentle and patient. Slower to learn, slower to forget. Once they have it forever.
Got it.
So, yeah. So I'm a little more Vata.
Yep. I'm more Pinta.
Very, yeah. There you go. Yeah, she's definitely.
We can make a song out of that.
Although, you know, you have a lot of the Vata. Like, we all have all three in us.
Okay.
Okay? So, so I tend to be more on the Vata and then Pitta, and she's more Pitta and then Vata.
Learn something new every
day. Yeah, just Pitta stronger. I know. A little Ayurvedic moment there for everybody. So
that's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot to that whole theory. That's the oldest medicine known to mankind.
Very interesting.
And yeah, it comes out of India. Yoga is one of the limbs of Ayurveda. Is the proper way to say it. I'm with Ayurveda.
Interesting.
Very nice.
Well, guys, on that note, we're going to step off to a commercial break real quick, but we will be right back.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, shut up. I work real.
Hello. Welcome back. Thanks for your patience there. I think we're getting the technology aspect of this figured out again. Hopefully, moving forward, we're not going to have any more issues. But now...
That's okay. We'll have fun with it.
Deb, Rachel being your mentor, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on while we have her here in studio with us?
One of the things that I have trouble with on occasion is I lose my passion in my business. The thing that I love, you would think it would stay in my business and I would love it forever. How do you keep passion or bring it back in when you feel it waning, when you're just tired of it all?
When you're tired, I think that's, you have to really look at the purpose inside of you, why you're going for it and why you're doing the business you're doing. And if you can't find the purpose of why you're doing it, then most likely you have to question if you should change. Because honestly, you have to have the constant passion for it. And I don't mean like the one day it's bad, but if you have to constantly go back and invigorate yourself, then you're not really following the true thing that you should be following. But because I think passion is something you live every day in a sense, and it defines who you are. So it's the way you walk, the way you talk, and so forth. And that passion is seen by other people, and that passion comes through in whatever business you do. So I think that's the true definition of when you're passionate about something. It just is a part of you, and people see it. And so when you bring your business together, they're just going to see that too inside of your business.
And so you need a why that makes you cry,
yeah.
In other words. You need that way deep down, strong why.
You need a strong why of why you do it. And not every day.
Rethink it once in a while?
I think rethink it. And it's not saying 1 week to next week. I'm talking when you talk doing it for 6 months, 8 months, a year. Mm-hmm. Now it's 2 years, and you're still not feeling like you're getting where you want to go. You have to really ask yourself why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you're not following the right passion. And you could do something different with your life. And I find that that's for myself, I've redefined myself many times. I mean, I know we've done the restaurant stuff a lot, mm-hmm. but I'm always trying to figure out who I am as I age. And mm-hmm. It's not always easy, but you have to keep looking for, I guess, the big why.
I think our reasons why change as we change.
I think
the
that's
reasons
true.
Why we do our business change.
Yeah.
And you and I are at an age where our children are getting more independent.
Absolutely.
And there's sort of a emotional lull. Like we've achieved certain things in our lives.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like we haven't achieved anything.
No, we've
at this point.
No, we've achieved a lot.
Yeah.
You have to look at it. You have to be proud. You have good kids. We have great kids. They're you know, nice homes. We've done a lot. And then you have to keep looking at yourself and saying, where do I want this to go? Because we're not that 20 or 30 year old anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
And the problem is it becomes, and this is something I struggle with, it feels like it becomes a more selfish reason to have that passion. And we spent so many years being non-selfish that
yes.
to corral it back into a selfish end.
Yes.
You know, it's, the passion, because I want this because I want this for me.
Right.
I want to be successful because
right.
I want me to be successful.
Right. You do
right?
lose it.
So,
because when you're young and you're early 20s and stuff and you're just building your life, everything is new. Everybody's new, and it's just all exciting, and it is all about you in some ways. And then as everything changes and ages, then it's you've already
there's
put
a
your
lot of other people in your life that need that.
Need
that's
that.
Your why.
That's
that point,
your why.
All these other people that depend
then it changes.
On you.
Yeah. So it's hard to find yourself as you get older, but you got to like find the passion and keep going for it.
Yeah, it comes out full circle, I guess. You know,
and once you're an entrepreneur, you can't go back.
No, I know, right?
You can't go back.
It's so hard. Once you step out into that entrepreneurial world, life is very different. And you can't have a boss. I am, like, unemployable, guys. I am, like...
Yeah, and the
if
thought...
If I'm 5 minutes late and you're going to yell at me because I'm 5 minutes late, like...
Wait, and I got to show up Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah. Like, I got the job. I got this for you. I'm good. We'll get this all done.
Yeah.
And I'll be done at noon, and you want me to stay here till 5? Like, that's not going to work for me. I got things to do.
Yeah, I got things to do, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to... To go back into someone else's world.
Yep.
It happens a lot of times, but yeah, I guess having time owning your own time for me is a big passion. Huge. It's one of my basic driving forces to why I'm in business to myself, for myself.
Right. You like to define your hours and how you're going to do it and accomplish it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting seeing the two of you talk about this just now, because you can see the mentor-mentee, the relationship that you were discussing, bouncing ideas back and forth, et cetera. It's really interesting.
Well, thank you.
So we have 2 minutes left, guys, and I was going to, I was really loving watching that, but Brooke and I used to do something, we called it Truth or Dare. I think it's more, she has super fun questions written down here.
I haven't played
this. So can we ask you some crazy super fun questions?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. We will start with, what sound or noise do you love?
So is this just for me or Dib?
Just for you.
Okay. So I love my animals. I have horses and dogs. So I have to say I love the whinnying of my horses or my dogs barking when we're coming home and they're howling like crazy animals.
That's a great sound.
But as much as it's crazy and sometimes over the top, I have to say I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brooke asked me that question our first day, and mine was a champagne bottle popping. So I think yours is definitely much more wholesome than mine.
I love Merlin. He's this big, huge, wonderful dog of hers. He's so what a Doberman Pinscher, right?
Yeah, he's a Doberman.
And he's so sweet. Oh, my God. His little ears just go back when he sees me. And he just is right there, right at almost my face.
But, do you have a favorite sound, Deb?
I've been trying to think of that.
You can't come up with anything?
I guess it would be hearing my voice. The voices of
your
my
kiddos.
Voice. Yeah.
So you're gonna be wholesome too, so I'm the only
Sorry.
One. No, that's a good one. That's good.
You know, I had this great, I don't want to keep a lot of time, but I had this great memory of my little guy, my oldest one, when he was, I would sing to him in his crib, and one time I finished my song and he sang back to me, and he was so
goodness.
Little, he couldn't even form the words, but he knew the music.
That's
and
great.
He just made the sounds that he thought he heard, and he got the music right and everything, and I knew he was singing back to me.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to end on that note. Okay. Was he singing Kesha by chance? No, probably not.
No, Amazing Grace.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming in and joining us
today.
It's
very
enjoyable.
Rachel.
Thank you.
We'll see y'all next week. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Trump had a conversation with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Friday regarding tariffs and taxing our imports. This as many investors are worried that the United States might be involved in a trade war with other countries, including China. Congressman Jim Renecki says our trade policies currently are unfair.
You travel the world and you find out that American goods, you know, we pay 20% or 25% or